Welcome to Popular Cultural Sharing. My name is Lawin and I am your host. In this podcast, we give you an outsider's perspective about European life, culture, and pretty much anything that is connected to this continent. So get ready to learn something new in a light and entertaining way. Hello everyone, welcome back to Popular Cultural Cherry. Today's special guest is Kiara Kokieng. She is, like me, also from the Philippines, also from Manila, and based in Germany. Interestingly enough, when I got to speak to her for the first time, I noticed that we have a lot of common friends. And that's because although Manila is a city of 10 million plus people, it is quite dense. And in general, like social circles always tend to somehow intertwine with each other. So yeah, we have quite a few common friends, but I never met her while I was living in Manila. She did her bachelor's in the best university in the Philippines, which is called the University of the Philippines, or UP in short. So by profession, she is a product manager. She also was a product manager, I believe, in the Philippines, and now is also a product manager for a company in Berlin, in Germany. On the side, she also offers a course for job hunting, specifically for job hunting abroad. So today, let's listen to Kiara's story of what got her into Germany. And she'll also be sharing some tips for job hunting. So let's go straight into the interview.
I'm Filipino-Chinese. Then I went to UP to study university. After that, I got recruited to join a management consulting firm. So it's a spin-off from McKinsey, which is one of the biggest consulting firms. And during that time, I was actually sent to the US to the client's office, so a few months at a time. So maybe spent 30% of my time in the US. And I guess that's where it really started. I saw that the company was really making a lot of money from Filipino analysts. They were sending us to the US. So they were paying us like $1,000 a month, which is quite a lot for Philippines as a fresh grad. And then they were billing us like 5K, 10K, something to the client. I saw that, well, I should cut out the middleman. Like, I want US clients. I don't want to work for a Philippine company. So after that job, that was like the only quote-unquote Filipino company I ever worked for. And it wasn't really a Filipino company. It was an American company with an office in the Philippines. But anyway, after that, I tried to give it a go for myself, self-employment, going after American clients to take advantage of arbitrage. Failed a lot there. That's where I learned the bulk of my job hunting skills because I was constantly looking for clients. And job hunting is basically sales. And when you're looking for clients, you're doing sales. So that's where I got started with like my job hunting skills. But anyway, I failed in that business. Like, it was the poorest year of my life, but also learned so much, learned about networking, sales, marketing, writing, copywriting, blah, blah, blah. But anyway, after that, I found a sweet spot between self-employment and traditional employment in working remotely for international companies. So I worked for American companies remotely, getting paid in between Manila and New York salaries. So this was really good. But anyway, I got tired after a few years, 3 years, something like that, working basically European hours. So 4 p.m. to 12 midnight Manila. But I would often stay until 2 or 3, even 6 a.m. That was really tiring. I was earning really well, but also was really very unhealthy. Yeah, so decided to, like, I've had it enough with the Philippines and I really want to explore the world and also want to earn more significant money because I think the economics in Manila is ridiculous. Anyway, decided to move to somewhere else. Eventually decided Europe, and then within Europe, Germany made the most sense.
Is there any specific reason why Europe?
So basically, whole Europe is going down. Every country is in recession, and the only countries that are kind of doing well, there are a bunch, but in my head, it was just the UK and Germany. And in the UK, I have some friends in London, and similar to Manila, the economics doesn't make sense in the UK. Like the ratio of average salary to cost of living is just out of whack. So that's why we ended up in Germany.
Okay. I remember you told me about this when we first got to chat with each other. Actually, you mentioned that you've been working from home kind of all your professional life. And how has that experience been, and what do you think about the current trend right now that's happening around the world? How does that affect you, if ever?
Yeah, so it doesn't affect me at all. I mean, except that I can't go to restaurants and I moved to Europe, but I can't travel. Aside from that, the working from home did not affect me at all because, like you mentioned, I've been doing this since 2013. And just to clarify, I called it working remotely, not necessarily working from home, because one of the original reasons I started working remotely is so I could travel while working. So I don't actually work from home. Like I go to Singapore, Malaysia, whatever, US. I did a speaking tour in the US while working a full-time job. I lived in Vietnam for a few months while working a full-time job. So that to me was the lure of working remotely.
This whole concept of working remotely for me is quite new. And obviously, I wanted to ask a veteran in this field. But yeah, I haven't had the chance to do like working remotely yet. I've just worked from home. But obviously, when the pandemic is over, ideally, that would be a nice time to actually work remotely. And I think more and more companies are allowing this at the moment and will continue to allow this in the future. So now let's jump topics a bit. So you said your skill is really job hunting. What do you think are common mistakes that a lot of people make when they job hunt?
Good question. I think there are two main mistakes. Number one is spending hours and hours, even days, on applications, on cold applications. So they look at LinkedIn jobs and then they see, oh, this is a good job for me. And then they spend like days and days, or maybe days is too much, but many hours crafting their application. And then they get no response, or they get an automated response. And then they're like, oh my goodness, I really suck. They must hate me. Like, I must have no skills, blah, blah, blah. But this is not the case. Like, they're getting rejected by computers because their application did not match keywords, or the HR manager is overwhelmed and just has no time to look at this application. So, for example, I was actually also a hiring manager before. When I open a job ad in LinkedIn, within 2 hours, I have 500 applications. I am not looking at each one by one, like looking for the best candidates. I'm like searching keywords. For example, I said, okay, I have a few people from Uber, and Uber seems like a company that's killing it. So let me use Uber. I get 10 people, archive everyone else. So this is how people get rejected, not because they have bad skills or they don't have the experience, but because the hiring manager never looked at their application. So that's the first mistake, spending hours and hours sending cold applications. By cold, I mean you just apply through a website or a computer without ever talking to a hiring manager or someone in the company. That's the first mistake. Second mistake is thinking they are job hunting, but they're not really job hunting. So what I mean is, some people, they would spend a week polishing their CV or like editing their LinkedIn profile. They think they're job hunting, but they're not. Like, if you're not in the market talking to people who might be hiring you, you're just fiddling with your cover letter and CV, you're not job hunting. Like, most people are like, oh, I spent like 3 months job hunting. And then I ask them, how many people have you talked to? It's like one or two. So many people, they spend lots of time in their head, in their computer, but not in the market. So they're not really job hunting. They're like editing their stuff. So those are the top two mistakes.
And then when you talk about talking to somebody, you mean talking to the hiring manager, or does that mean just anybody from that company?
Yeah, there are many approaches. In general, it's called quote-unquote networking. But there are two super repeatable types of people to reach out to. That's especially relevant for people who are job hunting abroad. Number one is people from your country that are now working in your target country. So for example, I'm a product manager from the Philippines. I want to move to Germany. I would look for people in Germany that are working as product managers and are Filipinos. So one way I would do that is, like, for example, I would look for University of the Philippines, the university where I came from. And then in quotations, product manager, which is how you do Boolean search. So University of the Philippines, all caps, and product manager, and then filter for Germany on LinkedIn. Sorry, I'm talking about a LinkedIn search here. That will quickly show me all the product managers from UP who are in Germany. And then I'll connect with them and talk to them. First of all, they'll be super helpful because, of course, they want to help you and you have a strong connection. You're from the same university. Second, the company they are working for has a precedent of hiring Filipinos, just like you. That's one type of person that I recommend people reach out to. The second type of networking I recommend is, yes, what you said, hiring managers. Same as people do, go to LinkedIn jobs, look for jobs in their target country, in their profession, but do not apply. Research the people in the company. For example, your peers, like same job title as you, and also people one or two job titles on top of you, like the hiring managers, and then reach out to them like, hey, so-and-so, I saw that company X is hiring whatever. I wanted to reach out because I was thinking of applying. Would love to learn more about how the team works, how the company works, what it's like in the company. Would love your advice. Let's connect. Super easy. You get on a 15-minute call. If they like you, they'll say, oh, actually, I would love to get your CV, send it to the hiring manager, blah, blah, blah. So you basically guarantee that when you do apply to the job, it will be looked at by a real person and you won't be rejected by a computer immediately.
Like, I think a lot of companies also use these like screening, I don't know, platforms, I guess, software, yes, to kind of weed out kind of people they don't like, I guess. Am I correct to assume this? I have no clue about the industry.
Totally, they use software. But it's not like they're weeding out people they don't like, because again, the volume is so high. So they look for the easiest ways to quickly get like 10 or 20 viable people. So for example, in my case, I was using keywords like Uber, McKinsey, and everyone else who has no Uber or no McKinsey experience gets rejected. Not because they're not qualified, but because it's just way easier for me to get these 20, 30 people from Uber and McKinsey and consider them. It's not like, you know, like the people I rejected, I don't like their experience. I just don't have the time to look at each and everyone.
And do you think this is like also going to be a trend moving forward, that more and more sophisticated software will be used to kind of narrow the results in terms of the amount of people that you will actually need to read if you are actually the HR person hiring, or the whatever, hiring manager?
Yes, 100%. 100%. It is happening right now, and I can't see any reason why it won't continue.
Sorry, we're jumping a bit back. You spoke about why you wanted to move to Germany. You also spoke a little bit about your job searching skills. But maybe you can share with us, what actually was your job searching experience when you moved to Germany? So how did that all fit in, and how did that all work out for you?
Basically, I have a method that I use to do everything. I call it Project 100. I use it to start new businesses. I use it to try out different careers, and I use it to job hunt. So what I do is I look for 100 people I could talk to, and then start talking to them. So in my case, I reach out to Alt MBA alumni. Alt MBA is this online course I took where I made a lot of friends in Europe. Maybe it's like 20 people from there saying, hey, I'm looking for a job in Germany. Do you know anyone, or know anyone who might know anyone? And then I did like maybe 50 of this thing that I advocate, looking for Filipinos in Germany who are in tech. So I actually know, I think, every Filipino in tech in Hamburg, because I connected with all of them. And I looked at the jobs, and then I connected with the people who are working in those companies that have jobs open. So I reached out to about 90 people. I probably talked to many, like just ended with emails. I talked to, 30, 40 people on the phone, 15-minute calls. Lots of them are just catching up with people I haven't talked to in many years. But in terms of actual applications, I only applied to 8 because I never apply cold. I never apply cold. This is a waste of time for me. So among those 40 people I talked to, 8 of them said, yeah, I think your experience might be a good fit. So would love for you to apply. And then I apply, like I go through whatever requirements they have, but I basically guarantee that they will take a look at my application. So I applied to 8. I think one was not hiring Filipinos. They really wanted me, but they had a policy against hiring Filipinos, which is ridiculous because of the overseas employment certificate. Yeah. One needed German language skills. One or two, my experience was not that good. But in the end, I got 3 offers, 3 out of 8, and then I accepted one of them.
3 out of 8, that's a really high percentage. I don't even want to say what my percentage of like offers were. When I started applying for jobs, let's just say it's like way, way less than that. A lot of people have a different view on job searching. And also, I think the way you did it, if you're a person without self-confidence, it would be hard for you to just talk to 40 strangers. And I think, I know, when you do sales, like you said, no, job hunting, job searching is like sales.
I really empathize a lot with people because in 2013, I was self-employed. I was looking for American clients, never done sales in my life. I was terrified. Like, I was so insecure about, I have an accent, like, oh, they'll see I have Filipino accent and they'll judge me and whatever. Like, if I get the courage to schedule one call, and it would be like at 9 p.m. in Manila because that's 9 a.m. in the U.S. The whole day, I will just like prepare and get really scared and anxious and I won't do anything that day except agonize over this call. So I really understand this confidence and anxiety. And the first one or two is really painful. Like having someone helping you through that or having friends who are going through the same situation as you really helps. But really the first one or two or three you just have to do. And then it gets really better. By the fourth or fifth time, you're like, you want a call? Sure. I know exactly what to talk about. I'm super chill. I got this.
Among these people who you reach out to when you started doing this process of yours of job searching, have you ever had like weird experiences or very like awkward conversations? Because like these are a lot of people you're talking to and I don't know what type of people they are or they're complete strangers to you, I guess.
I don't recall any weird conversations. The worst quote-unquote outcome would be they ignore you, which is really not so bad at all.
Because they're strangers in the first place.
Yeah. and what I teach people is on these calls, so I also teach people to change their mindset. So when people job hunt, they have a mindset of how should I sell myself? How should I persuade them that I'm really the best person for the job? And what I teach people is don't do that. You know that Dale Carnegie saying, like, to be interesting, be interested. So I actually tell people to do 80% listening and 20% talking. So you go to the call, you read about the person. So you're like, you make the person you're going to talk to the most important person in your life at that moment. And you research the heck out of them. And you prepare 3 to 5 questions like, why are you in that role? Why did you decide on that company? What was the process of elimination? So it's really just asking a lot of questions and letting the other person talk. People love talking about themselves. So if you're like really curious and interested in their life, their choices, their career, it's really hard to do a bad job if you come with this mindset of curiosity and listening and really focusing on the other person.
Cool. So we spoke a lot about your tips on job searching, being more efficient in job hunting. And actually, the reason how I found Chiara is actually through a friend who was told about this course. And this course is actually being taught by Chiara, so maybe you can tell us a little bit about this course of yours. And I guess this is a business venture of yours right now.
So it's about job hunting abroad, but the pilot of the course is about land interviews on your job hunt abroad. So it's only up to landing interviews. I've talked to a few dozen people who joined my email, the wait list for the course. And a lot of them, their biggest challenge is even getting to the interview stage. And many of these people are really smart. They're really competent. They're like in demand in their country. If they manage to reach the interview stage, they got it. You know, they can convince the HR manager to hire them. But the biggest bottleneck is to get to the interview stage. Anyway, the course is make it to the interview stage on your job hunt abroad. It's a 4-week course, 8 sessions live with me. There's a community in Slack. You get daily accountability and social and emotional support because job hunting can be very grueling emotionally and lonely. Yeah, so it's basically super hands-on. There are no pre-recorded videos. It's kind of almost one-on-one coaching with me. At the same time, having 5 other peers who are on the same journey as you, looking for a job in a new country. And as for the material, it's like I expand on what we talked about here, Lawin, like reaching out to people, who to reach out to, how to find them on LinkedIn, what to talk about once you get on the call, practicing the call, once you get an interview, how to talk about yourself, stuff like this.
Very helpful. And if people want to reach you, how can they get in touch with you for this course?
So it's in genpropel.com. That's genpropel.com.
Yeah, I'll leave a link on the episode description. Yeah, but I think in summary, just to kind of cap off what we spoke about, it's a lot about networking, and I think that's what a lot of people don't take advantage of, is really your network. I mean, LinkedIn is there to help you, and LinkedIn is not just a job site where you can view job postings, but it's a way more powerful tool than that.
Absolutely.
Right now, it's not the easiest to network because of Corona. So a lot of these events, like I used to be very active in these like events, like meetup or couchsurfing events. I used to go a lot. I used to network, not really about professional networking, but more about meeting interesting people. But also like professional networking events, like the live ones are non-existent now. So you always have to find a alternative to that. So I'm guessing there are a lot of like virtual events or whatever, but obviously like LinkedIn is already there, and I think it's really wonderful how you're able to unlock this like power of LinkedIn, which actually I never really thought about and I never really took advantage of. So it's been really insightful. I actually learned a lot myself. And if you want to add anything.
Yeah, I guess if someone here is listening, they're thinking of moving abroad, but they kind of don't know what to do first. It's so confusing. They're scared. Yeah, I would really advise to just go to LinkedIn, look for alumni from your university who are now living in your target country, connect with them, talk to them. That will really massively bring you energy and inspiration. You can see that these are normal people. They've done what you want to do. They have nothing on you. So that's my advice.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Pop Your Cultural Cherry. You can listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and other podcast streaming platforms. To be updated with our latest episodes, don't forget to give us a like and a follow on our Facebook page and our Instagram account.